This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:44, 16 minutes before 2 o'clock. Jungle Jim Hunter on the radio at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And texted to us at 10:12:60. Can you settle the debate? Who wanted to stay the course and who wanted to blow it up? Feaster versus Sutter. The word we got, and this is, I'm not sure, you know, this is, you know, probably 90th hand, was that Sutter was the one who wanted to do the rebuild, and Feaster, or at least Feaster and above, were not interested in doing a rebuild. So that's what we heard. That's what we got. Now, whether or not that, sometimes these things have a way of working themselves out conveniently. And I know that Sutter, after he had left the organization, had mentioned something that along those lines at his press conference, which is, you know, sometimes convenient, but that's the word, that's the rumor that we got. And I apologize to you for not getting to that question while Kent was with us, but maybe we'll discuss it with him when we talk next week. A couple of things to update you on. Washington Capitals were winners. Mike Green scoring late and scoring the winner as the Caps defeated the New York Rangers 3-2. And that series is now tied at 2-2 in the bizarro Stanley Cup playoffs that we have going on right now. New Jersey up 2-1 over Philadelphia. They'll play game number 4 tomorrow. And in the West, it's just crazy wild. LA up 3-0 over St. Louis. And, of course, we've got the other one is Phoenix over Nashville 3-1. So I don't know who's going to win the Stanley Cup, but chances are it's going to be if I had to put money on it right now, which I don't gamble because I'm cheap, I'd go Los Angeles. That's just my feeling. Joined now by Benjamin Massey from Copper and Blue and also 86 Forever. How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad. How about yourself?
Good. You know, it's great to talk to you finally because I've known you as Lord Bob for 1,000 years now. And it's just great to have a conversation with you over the telephone. So,
yeah. People can realize I actually exist now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and you're not really diabolical. You just are on Twitter, right?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. When you got 140 characters, you got to show it a little bit to make yourself heard.
Well, you do an excellent job. Now, you're an Edmonton native living in Vancouver, but you remain a true Copper and Blue Oiler fan, correct?
That's right. The easiest way to make sure you stay an Oilers fan forever is to surround yourself with Canucks fans, I find.
Yeah, that would probably be it. But you're also a Vancouver Whitecaps fan, but you're following the FC Edmonton situation too.
That's right. Back in the old days, I was cheering for the Edmonton Aviators when I was a kid. And obviously, they went belly up in a real hurry.
Yep.
So I moved to Vancouver. I got into the Whitecaps. And then Edmonton got this new soccer team. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do now?
Cheer for both, right?
Yep, I'm kind of a bit of a bigamist on that one.
Did you get out to the FC Whitecap game at Commonwealth this week?
I did. I did manage to see that one. It was a bit of a disappointment from an Edmonton perspective, but the Edmonton played pretty well, given that no one gave them much of a chance. They just couldn't finish the deal.
Well, you know what? It seems like there's a little bit of maturation going on. The team has to gel a little bit, right?
That's for sure. Most of those players are under 25, and a lot of them have been playing together for a couple seasons now. But when you have a few small players and they're all fairly young, as we're seeing with the Oilers, all the skill in the world can't replace maturity.
Yeah, and with the Whitecaps, they didn't bring their full lineup, but they're still a skilled bunch, and they've got that their seasoned group.
Yeah, they didn't bring their full lineup, but there were still a lot of experienced players. They only had a couple real rookies in there. Eric Ostley, the guy who scored the winning goal, he's a designated player making $1 million a year. The other guy, goal scorer, Atiba Harris, he's been in Major League Soccer since before I was watching it. So you can't underestimate the amount of experience they had.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the return match is in Vancouver coming up, right?
That's right. Coming up this Wednesday.
Okay, sounds good. And you'll be reporting on that on 86 Forever?
Absolutely. I would not miss that one for the world.
So you got a pretty good gig going on with SB Nation, which is a great site. Obviously, Copper and Blue, you write for hockey, and then you're doing your soccer thing over there at 86 Forever.
Yeah, that's right. It's a decent scam. I only got into the soccer thing because I was already writing for Copper and Blue. When I started up, there wasn't that many in the way of MLS blogs on SB Nation. There was Sounder at Heart and a couple others, and the Whitecaps weren't even in Major League Soccer yet, but I sent an email to the guy, hey, how'd you like a Whitecaps blog that 4 people are going to read? And he said, sure. And everything's just kind of exploded on me from there.
So just for those who have followed you and those who maybe have forgotten where you came from originally, you were the South Smithsonian Roller Gator, right?
That's right. Way back in the olden days of 2008,
yeah.
I was a Phil Smithy and Roller Gator, and just once a week or something, I'd come on and throw out some expletive-laced rant. And from there, it just, every so often, I'd get an email, hey, why don't...
We lost him. We're going to get Ben back because we wanted to talk to him a little bit about the Oilers. But anyway, he, you know what? He great writer, very fine writer. If you catch him on Copper and Blue, my favorite thing that he does at CNB is pre or post games on the Oilers, because he's very creative with words, and some of the words we would never use on radio, but he gets them out there and in the right order. And I've had more than a few chuckles with Benjamin Massey at Copper and Blue over the while. He did mention the FC. They're playing tomorrow, by the way, at Clark Park at 2 o'clock against the Carolina Railhawks. So if you if you're in town, you want to check them out. 2 o'clock at Clark Park. Going to be another great game. The FC are a very interesting team. As he mentioned against the Whitecaps, they had a couple of chances, 2-0 the final score for Vancouver, but an interesting team, and they are gelling and coming together, and they got a big point on the road, and I have a feeling that they're going to do pretty well tomorrow afternoon against the Carolina Railhawks. You make sure you check it out, and of course we'll have that game for you on Team 1260. Did want to talk about, if we had a chance to, it looks like we got a little bit of a window here, about the top 10 in the draft. You can go to the Low Tide site and check out the various top 10s. Bob McKenzie's list is the list, the one that you want to check out. The reason is he's the guy who talks to scouts. And so his list is probably closer than anybody's over the years. I think he's 26, 28 out of 30. That's his, you know, average for his final top 30. The reason he does that is he talks to the scouts, and he has a really good idea about not only where they're going to go, but, you know, each player and where the fact that they're going to be among the top 30. And his top 10 right now is Yakupov, Grigorenko, Ryan Murray, Philip Forsberg, Matt Dumba, Galchenyuk, Truba, Griffin Reinhart, Morgan Riley, and then a tie at 10 between Radek Faksa and Teuvo Teravainen, who's really moving up the charts right now. So there'll be a lot of movement, as I mentioned earlier, mostly because the combine will expose things like injury. Most of these kids in the top 10 have had pretty devastating injuries. Galchenyuk missed basically the whole season. Yakupov had a huge knee injury that impacted him in a big way. The problem there is, you know, he just wasn't as effective when he came back. So if you're an NHL team and you're thinking about drafting him, say, you know, I don't know, number one overall, you really want to go into that, you know, the combine and afterwards, and have a really good idea that this kid is going to be able to, you know, be 100% healthy. Now, knee injuries now aren't like when I was a kid, when Bobby Orr got a knee injury just about every, you know, every year. These kids can recover very quickly. So it's not like it's catastrophic. But then again, if you're taking the number one overall pick, you want to make sure he's healthy. So that's at the combine. And they also do a lot of interviews. And I don't know that the Oilers do, but I know a lot of teams put a lot of import on the interviews and on, you know, other tests that they do during that period of time. So the Bob McKenzie draft list will change quite a bit from the one that he put out, the top 10 that he put out, which was at the lottery, and the ones that we see as we go towards the actual NHL draft. And by the time he releases, I think the Monday of the NHL draft week, by the time he releases that top 30, that'll be pretty darn close to where you're actually going to see him, see these players go. And as I mentioned, he's usually like 26 out of 30 or 24 out of 30 most seasons because he's talking to those scouts. Redline Report is also listed on the Low Tide blog, and it's basically a 31st team. That's how Kyle Woodleaf presents it. As a matter of fact, we had Kirk Ludicky on not long ago, and he's one of the scouts for Redline, and that's exactly how he described it. A 31st team. There's some guys who will not be anywhere on the top 10 or the top 30 that Redline releases, and they know they'll go much higher. But from their point of view, all they really want to do is give you an idea about what they see and what they like. They've got Teravainen, by the way, number 3 overall, and they've got Griffin Reinhart, number 9, and Ryan Murray, number 4. And then we've also got Craig Button listed there as well, and Craig has Yakupov, number 1, but then Dumba, number 2, and as of right now, Ryan Murray isn't even on the top 10 there. So there's all kinds of scales going on as far as the top 10 is concerned, and that'll continue through right until the draft. And the McKenzie one is definitely the one to pay attention to because it's the closest. So if you're a fan of the draft, you want to check that out, that's where to do it. Now, just a couple of more minutes here. We want to sum up a few things. If you have been out and about and haven't heard, the Washington Capitals were winners today. A late goal by Mike Green put them at the top and tied now at two apiece with the New York Rangers. No games tonight, which is, I mean, I don't know what to do. Do you have any suggestions, Mark? Young guy like you, can you suggest me? What can I do to hit the town to make the scene?
Hit the town? Well, I don't hit the town. I'm 23 years old. I haven't made a public appearance all year. I'm probably going to watch NBA playoffs tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, there's
basketball playoffs
tonight, and also
yes.
Check out Oklahoma City. The Barons are playing. That'll be on the radio. Jim Byers as well. And lacrosse tonight as well, right? The Rush playing as well. So there's lots to check out. Enjoy. Next Saturday, we'll be live on the air between noon and 2. We'll have Kent Wilson and a cast of thousands on Nation Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm out.